Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Glenda Tate, Assistant Administrator, Office of Human Resource Management, the Federal Aviation Administration. Well, Glenda, we've heard that the FAA could lose as much as 60% of its workforce to retirements over the next several years. What kind of challenges does this present to the FAA, and what solutions are you considering?
Paul, you're right. Major demographic shifts in the FAA workforce have resulted in our taking a serious look at consequences for the agency. We believe that about 50% of FAA's current executives will be eligible for retirement by fiscal year 03, and about 53% of the senior managers that would most likely replace those executives would also be eligible as well. So normally, if you're looking at workforce planning, you would look at the level of worker that's planning to leave, and you sort of look below that. And so we find that at every level of in the organization, we are seeing somewhere between 40 and 50% of the individuals that would be eligible to retire. Now, we're not suggesting, nor do we believe, that all of those who are eligible would go out. OPM's data tells us that about 20 or 25% of those that are eligible may go. But I don't know that anyone has ever, we've ever been in a time like we are now where we have so many individuals that are eligible. So I think the verdict is still out about what those real numbers will look like. We have engaged in a very intense process at the agency to undergo and to take a look at workforce planning very seriously. And we started out in a way that's a little bit unique, I believe. We decided to take a look at what the skills were that we were really going to need in our executives and in our managers. And based upon those skills, we went through a process to, first of all, assess what skills we had currently in the organization. And so we went through a 360-degree evaluation based upon what we're calling a success profile for managers and executives in the organization. We started at the top, and I'll talk a little bit in a moment about what we're doing for those key occupations. But we went through a process to, first of all, figure out what were the skills that we had on board currently in the organization as related to that success profile. So we recently went through a really interesting process where we used a 360-degree evaluation to get some data on our current executives. And then based upon that, now what we're looking at is in what's the gap and how do we fill the gap? And the process that we're using is that we just opened up for our managers who would be interested in filling those executive positions, a process to go through the same 360 to understand individually where they are as it related to their development track. And then based upon that, we'll be able to, and we are designing both opportunities through mobility assignments and formal training to be able to then close that gap. What's really dynamic about this program, and I think very interesting, is that the individual employee who is interested in moving into a management position or executive position will have their own personal data about how they show up against this success profile. And then based upon that, that individual will be able to develop an individual development plan that can track closely the skill development that is necessary. Now, this is very different than most of the senior executive development programs in government where we generally would come up with a certain number of employees and then they would go through a very intense training program geared for the executive workforce. In this process, individuals, again, have the opportunity themselves to develop a specific track. We just finished round one of taking a look at the feeder pool for executives. And now we're looking at, again, we want to look at the data that we have available and determine then what we need to do in order to close that gap. It's very possible that we will end up, with very formal training programs, creating opportunities, as I said, for mobility assignments, those kinds of things. But we believe that through this process, we will have a large cadre of individuals who will be eligible for and qualified at the appropriate time to move into the executive ranks. Now, you might ask, so what are you doing below that level? That takes care of the executive piece. What are you doing below that level? We have very intense workforce planning going on for what we consider our key occupations as well. We know that the average age of the entire FAA workforce was 43 years old in 1996. It's 45 years old right now. And so we know in every key occupation we have some of these same concerns. And so we're looking at both the gap, and we also have a national recruitment program that that we're working through right now, so that as we understand what the attrition piece might look like, then we are able to have the interventions that are necessary to be sure that we have the capacity that we're going to need to fill those positions.
We talked about the people exiting the workforce. How about people entering the workforce? What advice would you give to a young person who's interested in a career in, say, public service?
One of the things I think we would need to do is just really to start out to acknowledge with a young person that they may have heard that, in fact, the government may not be one of the best places to work. And so we need to sort of put that on the table. And then to begin to share with them that in government, that there is always challenging work that needs to get done. If I think about the FAA as an organization, there is no other place, there is no other organization in this country that you're going to be able to go to and to do the kind of work that we do in FAA. I think many other government agencies will be able to say the very same thing. And so the first thing we want to do is to really sell what work gets accomplished in the government, what it's responsible for. And I think we can do a better job of that, quite frankly. The other thing I think we want to talk about is job security. We want to talk about the comprehensive benefits packages that we have, the opportunity for career advancement, the flexible work environment that we have. And so I think we have an opportunity to sell the government instead of, quite frankly, assuming that individuals would just naturally want to come to work. We're going to have to do what every other private organization does, and that is get out there and sell the opportunity to work in government. I think the work that we do is, again, is both challenging and I think is exciting. And having individuals get out and go out and recruit and be able to talk about these exciting careers, I think is really the path that we have to go on. We have a lot to offer young people. We have a retirement system now that's very flexible. And so we have the opportunity for individuals to come in and to go do something else, to come back to work in government. So I think there's a lot more flexibility that we can offer young people now than we've had the opportunity to in the past.
What's your vision for the FAA's human resources over the next 10 years?
Well, I think one of the things we've got to do is to ensure that the systems that we've put in place really do what they're intended to do. I talked about having some pieces in place, a new compensation system in place, for example, for about 18 months. I talked about the new staffing flexibilities that have been in place for the last few years. Because the agency has not been doing a lot of hiring, we haven't had as much opportunity as we will to use many of those flexibilities. So I think one of our challenges is going to be to ensure that we reap the benefits, if you will, of the changes that we've put in place. I think the other challenge is going to be around HR continuing to move to a consultant function, if you will. We are hoping that over the next couple of years that much of our transaction processing will be done in a centralized location, that managers will have the flexibility that they need through automation to make many of the decisions that they need to make at a very local level. And so the role of the human resources person then becomes that of advising and consulting on organizational change, organizational dynamics, and giving the managers the authority and responsibility and flexibility to make the decisions that they need to make around their own workforce. And so I think there will be a challenge around staying strategic. One of the challenges for HR as we move forward is measuring the value that the HR organization adds to any particular mission function. And so as we go forward, we're very keen on measurement. We are putting in place right now a balanced scorecard approach where we are actually looking at everything that we do in the organization to understand how it is going to contribute to the bottom line. If we put in a new performance management system, how is that impacting the mission of the organization? If it's a new pay system, how does that impact on the quality of candidates that we are able to attract? And so I think that we have really an opportunity as we go forward to move in that direction and to be able to really impact the mission of the agency.
Well, Glenda, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today. We've had a very interesting conversation on important management topics. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for having me.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Glenda Tate, Assistant Administrator, Office of Human Resource Management at the Federal Aviation Administration. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.